One way to read the news this morning is to see a series of tests. Scott Peterson writes about security forces patrolling neighborhoods in Tehran, where dissenters are testing the resilience of a regime at war. Henry Gass explores the questions the Supreme Court will consider today in a case testing a bedrock definition of citizenship. Linda Feldman reports on how conspicuously timed transactions on the stock market are testing norms of honest governance. And from China, Ann Scott Tyson paints a picture of jubilant port workers who see the promise of great fortune in their country's ability to weather economic threats from the United States. "We have confidence," one longshoreman told her. "The port is full." It's Wednesday, April 1st. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. The Supreme Court ruled against banning conversion therapy for minors. In an 8-1 decision released on Tuesday, the court held that Colorado's law banning conversion talk therapy for minors regulates speech based on viewpoint, violating the First Amendment. In a short concurrence, Justice Elena Kagan, joined by liberal colleague Justice Sonia Sotomayor, wrote that the case is textbook viewpoint discrimination by allowing speech only on one side of the issue, but left the door open for further debate. In a lengthy dissent, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson criticized her fellow justices for a decision she said will make it harder for states to regulate the medical profession. Mexico vowed to take legal steps over the deaths of its citizens in U.S. immigration detention facilities. At least 14 people have died in Immigration and Customs Enforcement custody in 2026, including 4 Mexican nationals, in the midst of President Donald Trump's mass deportation efforts. Mexico is filing a legal brief as part of a federal class action lawsuit alleging unconstitutional detention conditions. President Claudia Sheinbaum Pardo said on Monday she would also raise the matter with the Inter-American Court on Human Rights. "This is a reflection of an alarming and unacceptable trend," Mexican diplomat Vanessa Cava Ruiz said. A Russian oil tanker docked in Cuba. Though the United States has imposed an energy blockade on shipments to the Caribbean island, the vessel brought 730,000 barrels of crude oil from Russia. It is the first oil tanker in 3 months to reach Cuba and is expected to supply the country's oil needs for 9 or 10 days, according to the Associated Press. Cuban Deputy Foreign Minister Carlos Fernandez de Cosio on X called the U.S. blockade criminal cruelty of imperialism against a nation that refuses to be dominated. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or on our app for the latest news. The U.S. and Israel aimed vast destructive power at regime targets in Iran. But the Islamic Republic's true believers in the Revolutionary Guard Corps and the Basij militia are operating diligently and without known defections to intimidate any Iranian who might heed the call to rise up. Scott Peterson reports from London for The Monitor. The U.S. is one of about 36 countries that provide for unrestricted citizenship at birth. The Supreme Court will consider President Donald Trump's effort to reinterpret the Constitution's guarantee of automatic citizenship at birth. Henry Gass reports for The Monitor. Critics say traders appear to be getting confidential information about major news that will move markets and then placing trades just before it happens, winning a big payoff. Suspicions of impropriety have sparked a wave of legislation in both houses of Congress. Linda Feldman reports from Washington for The Monitor. For decades, Beijing has worked toward the same overarching goal: rebuild China's power, displace the U.S., and reshape the world order to better serve its interests. Under a second Trump presidency, it has found new opportunities to advance that plan. Ann Scott Tyson reports from Danzhou, China for The Monitor. The war in the Middle East is playing out many thousands of miles from Southeast Asia. But the impact is already being felt by millions of people in countries such as the Philippines, where the government has declared a national energy emergency due to the skyrocketing cost of oil and gas. Contributor Mark Saludes reports from Manila, Philippines, for The Monitor. Between the 1500s and the 1800s, breeders developed specialized livestock breeds for different purposes. During this time of specialization, a host of breeds dwindled. The Rare Breeds Program at Colonial Williamsburg is aimed at preserving breeds that have fallen out of favor. Melanie Stetson Freeman and Scott Baldoff report from Williamsburg, Virginia for The Monitor. To view this photo essay in full, visit csmonitor.com/daily. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how the EU and Canada lean into a new world role. At the start of this week, a four-day gathering of the World Trade Organization ended in deadlock over a disagreement between just two of its 166 member countries. The United States sought a 10-year extension to existing duty-free digital purchasing rules for items such as software, music, and movies. Brazil would only agree to a 2-year extension. Nevertheless, working on the sidelines, 66 other members from Asia, Europe, and the Americas forged their own agreement on the issue. The recent increase in such minilateral solutions to global obstacles signifies more than mere impatience with time-consuming multilateral processes. Rather, it highlights the impetus and realization among the world's middle powers about their changing role and responsibility in shaping a world order amid major geopolitical shifts. Middle powers are seeking ways to lessen overdependence on the world's two largest economies, the U.S. and China, while also crafting new interdependent relations with a wider range of partners. Middle powers have the potential to help stabilize global order and advance cooperation, according to Stuart Patrick, senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. The range of potential issue areas for cooperation is vast, including trade, climate action and energy security, digital technology, and support for the international rule of law. The European Union and Canada, both longtime allies that the U.S. has recently shunned, are at the forefront of this trend. In January, Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney urged a move toward building coalitions that work issue by issue with partners who share enough common ground to act together. He dubbed this a policy of variable geometry based on shared values and interest. In the 2 months since his speech at the Davos World Economic Forum, Mr. Carney has traveled to Asia and Australia to hold trade talks. Ursula von der Leyen, president of the EU, has also logged many air miles. In the first 3 months of 2026, she helped conclude three significant free trade negotiations with the five-country Mercosur bloc in South America and with India and Australia. The Mercosur deal, in discussion for 25 years, signals that the EU can still deliver, even if slowly, noted the Policy Center for the New South. For Mercosur nations, it is a recognition of agency. Instead of choosing between China's purchasing power and Washington's attention, the bloc gains a third pillar, Europe's market and political stability. Both sides, the Morocco-based center said, benefit from what the other can offer, balance, resources, stability. Referring to the U.S. retreat from a range of alliances and pacts, Dr. Patrick of Carnegie believes that emerging middle powers can fill the leadership vacuum. This is their opportunity, he wrote in January, to defend what should be preserved, jettison what is obsolete, and renegotiate rules so that they work better for all. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter, Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcast. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how we can carry the lessons of Jesus' resurrection into our days and experience more of our oneness with God's divine love. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Noel Flack, and Victoria Hoffman.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.